home for the NBA Finals, World Series, and College Football's National Championship. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Belvieu, Houston. Brought to you by Zadok Jewelers.
They want to be down with the kids.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
All right, welcome in on this Friday morning here on ESPN 97.5. John and Lance along with Aaron, and we are here to set you up for the weekend, set you up for the Texans. I'm kind of excited to see him play the Buccaneers.
How could you not be?
Well,
you wouldn't be human if you weren't excited to see Texans Bucs preseason.
No, I mean we've seen them against, you know, the Packers backups. We've seen them against the Cowboys backups. We're actually going to see him maybe against Tom Brady for a couple series. We're going to see him against the champs coming in here to our place, into our house. All right, and we're going to see actually if their defense is really can actually put pressure on anybody against a good offensive line. The problem we're having is one of the problems we're having is Laremy Tunsil, because here's the deal: I fear for with that defensive front. I saw Patrick Mahomes get his ass kicked by that defensive front.
Mm-hmm.
And Tyrod Taylor ain't Patrick Mahomes. And he did it without any offensive line, any tackles. And you know what? Tyrod Taylor doesn't have any tackles either. He doesn't have. What's the deal with Tunsil right now?
So Laremy Tunsil is out with reconditioning. This is what they're saying. He's still on the COVID-19 reserve list, so they can keep him there. According to David Culley, quote, he's doing well. He will not play. Still the protocol. When he's feeling better is when he'll be activated. Right now, we're reconditioning him because he's been away for a while. We're not going to put him back out on the field until we feel he's ready to play conditioning-wise. So basically, he was out for a while. He had a little bout with COVID that I guess lasted a couple of weeks minimum. And now he is... potentially. Now, if you trust all this at face value, which you should, we'll get into the potential layers here. But if you trust him at face value, then what he's saying is not going to be unlike what my brother's dealing with right now as we speak, as he tries to come back. My brother, another fine-tuned athlete. Former offensive lineman.
Right.
Maybe
former,
I can,
former
yeah.
But yeah.
But when I now
a little
I
bit
was,
older than Laremy, but okay.
Yeah. Now, I was different. When I had it, I was exhausted. And then when I was better, I was better. My brother, and I know a lot of people like this, when my dad had it, he thought he was better. And then a week after he was done with his bout with COVID, which is a pretty good little bout, nothing, you know, he had to go to the hospital one day for some breathing concerns, but he was okay. He was going to work. He went out to Phoenix to work with four different offensive linemen. He said, I had to sit in a chair. Like, they had to bring a chair out there. I had to sit in a chair and coach from a chair the first day and part of a second day because I was just completely exhausted. Now, he's in his 70s. My brother had just, you know, finished and sent him to the hospital two different times. He's fully vaccinated, but the Delta got him, and it got him pretty good. Mike is having some fatigue issues as he goes back and tries to reacclimate into school as a coach/teacher and all that stuff. It's not crazy to think that Laremy Tunsil right now was he was laying in bed for over a week. That's very, very possible. And that he just feels exhausted all the time right now. And he doesn't have his conditioning. It's a very likely chance that that is the scenario. However, I do have to mention, out of fairness, that you and I have been around this business long enough to remember the early days of the Texans, where our good personal friend Steve McKinney seemed to get injuries in camps that would keep him out until just as camp was coming back. You know, the season was getting ready to wind down. And it wasn't just him. Veterans have this way, like Jadeveon Clowney. Well, you know, he's finally starting to feel a little bit better.
Yeah.
That injury with Cleveland is finally starting to come around. You have Lane Taylor, who's coming off an ACL, Marcus Cannon, a veteran who, you know, is not quite
now,
ready yet.
Now, new team guys. So yeah, you would think that they likely needed to be there.
Yeah, less likely. But with Laramie Tunsil, because of the way that he, yeah, you know, the former coach had to get him to, quote, he had to do a deal with Laramie to get him to practice, that's what plants in my mind the possibility that Tunsil is, you know, it just the possibility that Tunsil may be just taking some of camp off. I mean, I already know the last offensive line coach had to, quote unquote, do a deal with him to get him to practice. That's a bad sign.
Yeah.
When a guy's getting 20 plus million a year and he still doesn't want to do anything.
So
that's
what
not a great
is more
sign.
Dangerous for Tyrod Taylor? Laramie Tunsil out this week against that defensive front or a doctor's needle?
I feel like not having your left tackle is more dangerous.
It could well be.
Yeah, I feel like that if you want to look at, you know, these guys not getting vaccinated, it's your choice. I will just tell you what's at stake for you. You're much more likely to get cut than not cut. A team, if you're not a starter and you're at the back end of you're probably getting cut. You're not going to make the team.
Yeah.
Because they don't want you to ruin their chances. Because here's what they're finding. There's a greater chance to test positive even if you're fully vaccinated with the Delta variant. This is something the league, we had a big league meeting yesterday. It was about point of emphasis. It was about leagues, you know, with the, it was just about five or six different things, and all the employees had to go. But one of the things we found is, A, the league is much more heavily vaccinated than I realized. I think the numbers are closer to 90% now for the entire league, and that includes everybody who works for a team. I think they said 92% of everybody who works for a team is vaccinated.
Wow.
That's much higher than I would have anticipated.
No, that's
very, very good.
Well, here's the deal.
I know for a fact the Colts, because I dug around on this, are at 78%. That's 31st in the league. I don't know who is last. But I do know this, John. One thing that the teams are already talking about is, because even if it doesn't affect you as much, if you can pass along or if you can get COVID despite being vaccinated, and you know it's much easier if you're unvaccinated, you have much more viral shedding is what it's called, and you're more likely to be affected by COVID if you're unvaccinated. These are just every study, every site. This is all science. Please don't debate this stuff. You can debate if you want to take it or if you think you're going to lose all your, you'll never be able to reproduce or whatever made up thing that you want to fight for until it's proven, disproven, quote unquote. That's fine. What is not, everything I just said is true. And what NFL teams are already talking about is, look, we can't take a chance with a player who's 49th on the roster getting it,
yeah,
and then giving it to an entire position group, and then we might lose a game. We might have to forfeit, and guys not even get their paycheck.
Well,
if you forfeit a game, neither team gets a paycheck, and you only get 17 on the year.
Well, with this variant, though, you know what's happening right now is that the NFL is saying, we're going to have to test even guys that are vaccinated.
Oh, yeah. No, well, yeah. Well, they haven't decided that yet. Right now, it's every 2 weeks, but they think that there's going to be...
It's a proposal right now.
Yeah, they think that they're going to have to make it more than every 2 weeks, because the two-week thing was when they thought you were just immune with the vaccine.
Right.
Now that they know you can still get it even if you're asymptomatic and if you can pass it along at all, it may turn out to be once every week. Or maybe even more than that. And if that's the case, I think we're looking at something similar to last year. I never thought I would say that, but after the meeting yesterday, I really truly believe they're going to test them a lot more. And if you have it, even if you're asymptomatic, you know, you're going to get pushed aside and everyone around you is going to. So because of that, unvaccinated players, they're just not going to mess with them unless they are really, really great. And some really great players are unvaccinated. But they're going to treat them. You know, they get treated way, way differently. They have to isolate them.
Absolutely. For the three-week period between August 1st and August 21st, 68 confirmed positive COVID tests out of over 7,000 tested individuals. That's a 0.95% incident rate. And of those, there's seven times higher incident rate among unvaccinated players. 2.2% in unvaccinated, 0.3% in vaccinated players. So the positive tests are much more amongst unvaccinated players. And yet there is still some among vaccinated players, which means we're going to have
out there, you're much more likely to get it if you're unvaccinated.
Yeah.
You're much more likely. So NFL teams, if you're going to get it, they're just not going to mess with you because you get a chance to shut down their whole a game and a paycheck. And players will beat your ass if you're the 50th player and 1/17th of your money is gone. Players are going to beat your ass on that roster. The alphas, I'm telling you, you will be. Right now, there's a lot of guys who are like, whatever, he's my teammate, I got his back. You get into his bread, you take money out of his pocket, and watch how quick they don't have your back anymore.
Oh, no, 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 no. And you know what? Go get your damn vaccination. All right. You know what? It won't be long before they make it mandatory. You ain't going to be on the team. That's it. If you don't want to do it, then you're off the team. That's all there is to it. Because the Cole Beasley, you know what we can actually do without you. You don't want to do it, then we can actually do without you in the league. We'll be fine without you. There is no question about that. I'm a little worried for Terod.
Because of Tunsil? Charlie Heck is also a starter? Because I tell you what was a little bit interesting is that when asked about Titus Howard, David Culley said, are these injuries like to Marcus Cannon and Laremy Tunsil
and Lane Taylor,
who's a guard? Is this why he's playing guard? No. We're just trying to find the best combinations. I think in their mind, they do not see Titus Howard 2021 as a tackle. I think they see him as a guard. And I think they see him and Sharping as the guards. And my guess is they see Marcus Cannon as the tackle.
Yeah.
And then Charlie Heck is the swing. And then Laremy Tunsil's the other tackle. And then Justin Britt. So Lane Taylor is going to be a backup at guard, which basically Lane Taylor guard, Titus Howard out to tackle is probably the other combination they're looking at with Marcus Cannon as a bench guy. But we don't know because those two guys can't get out there.
When is any offensive lineman out there?
You have no continuity headed into the season.
None.
Because those two guys, none of the three we just mentioned will play this week. Well, okay, let's say they get back on the field. Well, they won't have any game action. And it will have 1 week in terms of preparation.
And listen, they're already rebelling against Urban Meyer in Jacksonville.
Oh, I mean, shocker.
Yeah.
A college coach who does things the college way is getting flack. He'll be a one and done too.
He did name Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence won the battle, which was a shock. That they were going to start the first overall pick. That's been no question the number one guy over the last 3 years. Trevor Lawrence was going to be the guy, and he's going to actually start them in game one. Do you know how many straight games the number one overall quarterback? Do you know how many he has lost? The number one overall quarterback in his NFL debut.
The number one quarterback, because we've had quite a few of them. I don't know, 7, 6?
11.
Who? That's 11. That probably dates back, 17, 18 years, I'm guessing.
Yeah, the 11 straight number one overall pick quarterbacks losing his debut.
Yeah, you're going to a bad team.
Yep. And the Jags were a bad team, playing a great team in the
Texans.
You
know what? It can't be the Texans because David Carr won.
He won his
debut. So it has to be after 2002.
Yeah. Yeah. David Carr did win his debut.
Who was the top quarterback?
Billy Miller. Touchdown.
That's right.
1910.
You guys may remember that. Dallas. Houston has been winning the Governor's Cup for decades now.
Yeah.
Was it a Governor's Cup?
It was the Governor's Cup.
In 2002?
It's always been the Governor's Cup, Lance, for like centuries.
But it started in 02. Did they even figure out the Governor Cup in 02, or did they wait until
the next
year?
It's been the Governor Cup for centuries, Lance.
Okay. I was just making sure.
Just so you know.
Since 1965, actually.
Since what?
1965.
That's when the Governor's Cup started? You see? Yeah. David Carr won the Governor's Cup.
Yeah. Now, this was between the Dallas Cowboys and the Dallas Texans.
Oh, wow. The Dallas Cowboys and the Dallas Texans? Oh my God, we used to be the Dallas Texans. Ah, that sucks. I didn't know that. No,
this was, they actually made it the Governor's Cup officially in 65 when it was the Oilers and Cowboys.
Oilers and Cowboys. Thank you. All right, what does he got here? You got Allstate, Lance. Let's talk a little about Allstate here.
Yeah, and don't forget Greg Cosell from NFL Films is going to join us here at 7:30. We're going to go 7:30 to 8 with him. He'll have a lot of great insight into the Texans, into some different league stories, including Tom Brady. I heard a pretty good conversation about Tom Brady and Tampa I want to get into here in just a little bit. Right now, I want to tell you about another good conversation I had, and that's with Mary, one of the owners of Allstate Siding and Windows. What a fantastic company it is for me to, you know, an opportunity for me to talk to you about this company, because number one, they've been in business 50 years. That tells you that they've been doing things the right way. You don't last in business that long unless you're pretty good at what you're doing. And for over 50 years, they've been helping Houston homeowners reduce the outdoor noise with their replacement windows. It enhances the appearance big time, and it really increases the energy efficiency because it does away with those leaky windows. That's the number one culprit for you to have higher energy bills is those leaky windows. And a siding can help you with energy efficiency as well. And I'm here to tell you right now, they can stand up to 130 miles an hour plus of wind, so they've got hurricane wind strength on those double-ply windows that they make. So make sure that you can sustain the Houston elements like rain, wind, and hail. It's all covered with my friends over at Allstate Siding and Windows. AllstateSidingandWindows.com. Check them out right now for some great offers for retrofit windows and for siding.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So, apparently now, this is a story by Gray Papke on Larry Brown Sports.
Gray Papke?
Gray Papke.
Okay.
Well, it actually, we had Aaron Rice on, right?
Yeah.
We had Aaron Rice on the show. He didn't mention this, but Aaron Rice of The Athletic, he was with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, what was it, a couple days ago. Anyway, we talked about the Texans and what's going on over there, and he gave us some insight. He's been out of practice every day and whatnot. He says this, Watson will be either put on the exempt list, or he'll be suspended, or he'll be on the roster as a healthy scratch. So right now, and I can't even imagine.
Basically, the Texans have agreed to pay him all of his money.
Well, they
with no,
literally have no choice on the matter.
Well, they could ask him to practice.
Well, no, but they're paying along, him his money. They have no choice on that.
Well, they're going along with it. They're not making it uncomfortable for him. They're basically doing everything he wants. Kind of like the contract negotiation where they did everything he wanted. Now they're just giving him everything he wants because they want to just keep it copacetic before they have to trade him.
Yeah.
My guess is that they want to play nice so that he'll open up the amount of teams he's willing to
I don't play think for. He has any choice on that, if you want to know the truth. Whoever they do a deal with, if they come to terms,
you sit here and keep getting paid. You don't have to do anything.
Yeah, but
the Texans have to pay you for all of eternity. Apparently,
he doesn't want that. He doesn't want to be sitting here. The last thing he wants is to be doing what he's doing right now. He wants to be on a football field.
I would imagine. Yeah.
Yeah. He wants to be playing. He's not. Gray Papke is not a racist. Why do you say that, Art? That's not true.
Don't even read Art.
And Art, what's wrong with you? So he doesn't. Deshaun does not want to be in this. You know what he wants? The last thing he wants is to be doing what he's doing right now, sitting here, not having a team to go to, not having anyone that wants him, on the sideline with his own personal trainer. What situation in the NFL isn't better than this one for him? There is not a team, any team that he went to, or that would be a possibility. What are the possibilities right now? Denver, Philadelphia, Miami, what situation wouldn't be better for Deshaun Watson, even if it's not exactly where he wants to go? Philly might not be a place that he wants to go to, but he's like, they want me better than here right now, and I actually going to go to a place where I can actually get on the field and play some football. That would be awesome, as opposed to what I'm doing right now.
And that's if Jalen Hurts plays poorly.
Right.
And Philly may not be open. I mean, Jalen, by all accounts, has improved as a passer. And
no, but whoever trades for him would want him.
Right. Well, whoever wants to trade for him,
yeah.
would need him.
Yeah. They would need him.
But see, Pittsburgh, that needs to be in consideration.
Yes, absolutely. Well,
next year, the Steelers need to be in consideration. Next year. Unless they think Haskins is the answer, which I just don't think that's going to be the case, but we'll see.
Who do you want, Haskins or Deshaun? I don't think that's even.
Come on.
But here's the deal. Can the league possibly leave the Texans out to hanging out to dry by not exempting him? By not putting him on the exempt list? You mean he's got to be part of the 53-man roster all year? And just be
inactive the whole year.
Inactive?
Mm-hmm.
Are you kidding
me? You're eating up a roster spot.
You're
that's
eating
crazy.
A roster spot.
That's I know it. That's actually considered crazy. NFL teams won't carry a third quarterback because they don't like a throwaway roster spot.
Let me ask you this. Would Goodell do that to Jerry Jones? Would he do that if it was the Steelers? No.
Yeah.
Jerry Jones would scream to the high heavens.
I don't think he can put him
on the exempt list.
Yeah, I don't think this is really a Goodell issue yet. I think it hasn't really gotten. I think they have standards and it hasn't reached the standards of commissioners list.
In week one, it's a Goodell issue. In week one, it's a Goodell issue.
Maybe so. Maybe so, because if you say, well, we can't really do anything right now. We can't do anything because the legal process isn't moving. Here's the problem for the Texans. The legal process probably isn't going to move for much of this season based on where they are now. I honestly thought, remember when Quincy Avery, Deshaun's quarterback coach, was saying, I think something will be done or he'll be traded by this Sunday. I don't know where he got that from, because the fact is nothing is moving in any direction. And if that's the case, that may force Roger Goodell's hand to do something the scratch. That may be a real thing.
No, God.
The healthy scratch may be a real thing.
And you know what? You know why it might be a real thing? Is because of how weak Cal is. In that room with the 32 NFL owners, if it was Snyder, if it was Jerry Jones, if it was Lurie, if it was Davis, it was any owner, they would be screaming to the high heaven. They would call Goodell and tell him, hey, you got to do something about this. I can't have a roster spot with a guy that's got all of these accusations, with all of the lost, everything. Do something, Roger Goodell. But do you think Cal's on the phone telling Roger Goodell what to do? Zero chance. Zero chance he's on the phone going.
I don't know that Jerry Jones tells Roger Goodell what to do.
No, he tells him, really, Roger?
Well, he'll have an opinion.
Hey, he calls him Raj. Really, Raj?
Hey, Raj, we can't, yeah. The Dallas Cowboys can't be doing this. We can't have Dak and blah, 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 blah. He'd make that call. You think, Cal?
Okay.
Who is this? Can you speak up? I can't understand you.
Can I take Cal? Hey, Roger.
Who is this?
It's
who is this? Cal? This is 713 area code. Who is this? I can't understand you.
No, honestly.
Is this Cal? Who is this?
What NFL owner would be weaker in this situation? I'm just disgusted.
Well, it's every situation.
I'm disgusted. And Roger Goodell has been leaving him. I don't know that there is a worse owner for this situation than Cal.
Do you have any idea what Deshaun's trade value is?
I will know.
As soon as we talk to Trader Jeff.
Trader Jeff is on the line right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What's up, Trader Jeff?
Hey, guys. I heard the Deshaun Watson trade talk, and I just want to say trading Deshaun right now would be a terrible decision long term. Right now, his trade value has dipped from the five firsts I had on him a little bit because of the cloud. And before I get into it, I do want to say Lance kind of came around to my valuation. If I recall, he had like a three firsts. Two really good young players.
Well, that's pretty much what I've always had.
Didn't you say seven? No. Originally, you said seven.
I didn't come around. Three first is what I've always believed.
Yeah.
You started three first. I've always believed that because that's what history tells
you. Okay.
You had it. You were able to parlay seven. It to seven firsts out of him.
That was with a three-team trade. But I want to get into the value of Deshaun. They need to wait till next year, because if he's inactive this year, the no trade clause is irrelevant because he's not sitting 2 years in a row. He's just not. So we could easily trade him to Detroit. We could trade him to the any team we want to, essentially.
Now, Detroit might be one that he vetoed. That might be the one spot where Deshaun goes, I ain't going there.
I think there's going to be more than that. I
mean, where else would you not want to go?
I mean, you could turn down. Well, okay, so we can't talk about the teams that have a quarterback. So teams who might Minnesota.
Why wouldn't you want to go to there?
I don't know if he'd go to Minnesota. They do have. I mean, it's Minnesota might be a team where he says, I don't want to go there. Well, they drafted Kellen Mond. It's irrelevant.
There's no other place in the
Washington.
League. Why wouldn't you want to go there?
He may say, I don't like this weather. It's way more humid in the summer than I expected. That's what
I got. Greg Cosell.
That's what I found to be the case.
Trader Jeff, we appreciate you.
Do you know how humid Washington is? You do.
I do.
Washington's
I was there.
It was humid. Their summer sucks.
I was riding. We rented bikes and we're riding around.
It's way humid.
We had one drip of sweat one day.
No, it's way more humid than that.
It is.
It's hotter than I expected.
What do you think? Who's hot? Greg Cosell. That's who's hot.
Yeah,
he's next
right
here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Cars for Kids is hot, too. You know why? Because they're helping so many kids. They work with the Houston Can Academy, and they're able to get out there and get your cars. Do you know they have an auction on their site? Some of these cars that you guys are donating, whether they're running or not, they will take them and they'll auction them off on the site. And what happens is people who restore cars, who understand how to restore cars, they'll go in there and there will be bids of $100 on cars, $100 bid. And whoever ends up, you know, bidding and winning these cars, they'll choose to spend their time redoing them and then selling them or, you know, keeping them for themselves. But that money that they win from the auctions, that's going to the Houston Can Academy so that they get kids a second chance at a diploma. They help them financially. And this is a great opportunity for you to do something nice. If you have a car, whether it's running or not running, I can tell you, a lot of them aren't running. They will take it off your hands. They'll come out there, they'll tow it away, they'll do title search and transfer, and you will get a tax write-off. Isn't that awesome? You get a tax write-off so you can write off the car and not the kid. Go to carsforkids.org. That's carsforkids.org.
Get low when the whistle goes.
Wheel. Fun. Get low when the whistle goes. Sports. ESPN 97.5. Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, 7:30 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Hey, every week, this is awesome. Greg Cosell is going to be joining us, NFL analyst, senior producer in NFL Films. And he is going to be, this. Nobody breaks down.
We had two first choices, Sage Rosenfels to talk Texans, and Greg Cosell to talk NFL, Texans, pretty much whatever. We got both. The first pick and the second pick.
Yeah, we got them both. Well, I thought Cosell was the number one, but well, you could go.
No,
could
I
go
did
Sage.
Have him.
Yeah.
No, I do have him one.
Greg Sage Cosell is joining us right now on ESPN 97.
I don't know if Sage can talk about every team. Greg Cosell, I watch a lot of tape on college football players. The only guy who watches way more tape on a consistent basis is Greg Cosell. Greg, do you watch every game every week?
You mean in the end? But first of all, this is probably what you tell all the girls, right? That
yeah, that's right.
One.
Yeah, no,
yeah,
you're,
of
you're
course,
my first
no,
choice.
I have to butter you up.
I know the routine here, guys. I know the routine.
You've been with us before, and we really appreciate you being. He's going to be with us every week right here, breaking down all the games. And it's going to be on Friday, so do you watch every single NFL game?
Well, in the name of full confession, that's hard for me to watch every game every week in full. I get through a good amount, and then I'll watch bits and pieces of the games I don't get through. And then, of course, during the season, I'll come in on Saturday as well and catch up on things that I didn't get to during the week. So when all said and done, by week three, week four, I've seen every team to some extent, and then I just keep doing that throughout the season. But I can watch because obviously I've got my NFL matchup show where they tell me I'm a TV personality these days, so I got to do that. So, you know, I got to prepare for that, and that takes, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. That's hardcore preparation for the games games, I have to watch everything.
Yeah. You recognize the name.
Right. Greg Cosell with us here.
No, you recognize the last name.
Oh, yeah. Cosell?
Yeah. Greg, you want to tell him your relationship to Howard?
Well, Howard was my uncle. He was my dad's brother. So, but you know, it's funny. There's a lot of people who are young, you know, younger
don't
kids.
Don't know, yeah.
Because Howard passed away in 1995, which, you know, is, we're going on 30 years there. So, you know, sometimes I'll see 25, 30 year olds, unless they study sports journalism, they have no idea who he is.
Well, here's the deal too, though. I'm pretty sure, I don't know this. But our deal, your deal with us now is that we're forcing you to watch Texans games.
Yeah,
I didn't know that you.
Well, you know, we'll see how much we do with that. We're going to talk to you. You know, unless the Texans, you know, all of a sudden are 8-0, which, you know, my sense is that's not likely to happen. I don't think I'm bursting anybody's bubble by saying that.
Says you. Greg, So this was one of the worst defenses in NFL history last year. But we're seeing a bunch of turnovers.
They takeaways.
Takeaways, because Lovey doesn't like the turnovers. He likes takeaways. But we're seeing a different philosophy. Four takeaways last game, three the previous game. Can Lovey make that big a difference in this Texans defense this year?
Well, first of all, let's understand that it's preseason.
Right.
So let's not use that as our guidepost to determine what the season will be. I think every coach, defensive coach, talks turnovers. Some may coach it more than others. You know, Lovey's history, and again, I don't know if he will continue to be a strong cover two guy or if he's evolved because the league has evolved. It all depends, I'm sure, on what he feels about his corners. He's obviously got one very good one in Roby. I guess they're trying to figure out who's going to line up opposite him. They do have Mitchell, who is a free agent from Cleveland, who was a starter. So we'll see how they decide to go in terms of what their foundational coverage concepts are. And then the big question becomes, though, if you do want to play cover two, as you guys know, that's a four-man pass rush with your D-line for the most part, and can they get pressure with this D-line group?
Yeah, that's Mitchell was a starter, but that what does that mean? Because he wasn't, by all accounts, he wasn't a good starter.
Well, look, Lovey is going to make a big difference in terms of getting guys. I think the biggest difference that I've seen already, Greg, and yes, it is preseason. You just try to glean what you can. I think the biggest difference is the discipline in maintaining your lane integrity from a run fit standpoint. J.J. Watt was the greatest Houston Texan ever might be J.J. Watt without, you know, defense player of the year three different times. J.J. was also, as you know, a chronic freestyler. He would not always maintain his lane integrity. And I think run fits and pass rush lane integrity, I think it's going to be much more disciplined under Lovey, which is a good thing.
No, and I agree with that. Watt was so physically gifted. I actually used to have this conversation with a guy who worked with me for years on the matchup show, who was a former NFL D lineman, and he played at Notre Dame. Actually played with Tuck at Notre Dame back in the day, and he would always tell me, he said, he's doing things that you would never teach and you wouldn't ask a guy to do within the context of a defense, but he's so good at it that he could still make plays. So your point's correct, Lance. So the question is, you know, if they just play with greater integrity, greater gap discipline, will they just be better because of that? But the key question in a league in which the ball gets thrown a lot is, although they're in a division where they're going to have to stop the run, but the ball does get thrown a lot in the NFL, is can they rush the quarterback with four, or do they have to start bringing five?
That's the key for Lovey, too. He loves rushing four. You know, what he's shown a lot in the preseason, which I think is a little unusual for Lovey Smith, and I know he hasn't been in the league for a little bit, Greg, but you watched him all these years. He's doing a lot more twists with blitzes behind the twists. He is creating some schematic pressure that I don't remember him doing it that often when he was with the Bears.
And that's evolving and seeing what the NFL game is. The other thing that I bet you'll see him do, and more teams have done this over the years, is what we call zone exchange pressure, where you still rush four, but the fourth could be the slot corner. It could be a safety. So you still have seven in coverage, but you're rushing a faster, more explosive athlete. And very often that athlete comes off the edge. And then, so you still are just rushing four with seven in coverage, because defense, very often pass coverage is a numbers game. You would like to be able to pressure with four, because then you have seven in coverage. And then you have two more than the five eligibles that they can send out. But if you can't rush with four, you have to start bringing five, because you have to impact the quarterback. In this league, as you guys know, if you can't impact the quarterback, and it's not about sacks, it's about speeding him up physically and mentally. If you can't impact the quarterback, it's very, very difficult to play really good pass defense.
Yeah, if you've got four, that isn't that how the Giants beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl?
With, you mean going back to 2007?
And 11? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, if you can do that.
Yeah.
You know, not every team can do that with consistency in those, right, you know, third down situations. I mean, and that's what you're really talking about. You're really talking about third down, because obviously in normal down and distance, first and 10, second and 4, teams pretty much just play their defense. And then they're counting on the integrity of the defense. But when you get into third and 7, third and 9, you've got to be able to speed up the quarterback.
And I'm not, let's not mistake this, Greg. I'm not comparing the Texans defensive line to the 2007 Giants.
Oh, I thought you were making a direct comparison.
Greg Cosell with us here on ESPN 97.5.
See if you can name the four. I know Greg can. It's Umanura, Justin Tuck, Michael Strahan, and who was the fourth?
Oh, geez, I can't even remember that. But they went with that NASCAR group.
Yeah, the NASCAR group.
At,
yeah,
at that time, that was kind of a little... It wasn't
That was a turning point where teams start... You know, every once in a while, someone will come up with something, and it becomes a big turning point. I want to ask you this. We talked to Jimbo Fisher. We were with the Texas A&M head coach, and he's talking about going to... You know, he's got two really talented tight ends, and... So we started getting in a personnel grouping conversation about 12 personnel, which is one back, two tight ends.
Yep.
And 13, one back and three tight ends. And I brought up Gary Kubiak. And I think with Kyle Shanahan, you know, Shanahan also learned under his dad and Gary Kubiak. And he was here on the Texans staff for a while. You know, that two tight end set, we see a lot of two tights around the NFL. And this is a general question, not a general NFL, not a Texans question, but can you talk for a second about that ability to go to the two tight end set? What a huge difference that has made. I remember Bill Belichick was looking for his two tight end set before he came up with Aaron Hernandez and Bill Belichick. He had drafted David Sloan and Garrett Mills, I think it was, out of Tulsa. He knew he had an advantage he wanted to take advantage of with two tight end sets.
You could go back to the late 70s and talk to Bill Belichick when he was a special teams coach with the Lions, and they had David Hill and Charlie Sanders. And that was really when teams, again, I don't want to say it was the first time because nothing's first really, but you could go back then to two tight ends. But I'll answer the question this way. I think that base personnel, whether it's two tight ends or even two backs, okay, think of it this way. We know that what that predominantly does for a defense in normal down and distance situations is they stay with their base personnel on defense, whether it's a 3-4/5-2 front or whether it's a 4-3 front. But the point is they have four defensive backs on the field. So if you can split out, detach from the formation, tight ends and or a running back, then I think you're presenting some issues for the defense, and it wouldn't surprise me to see teams do more of that. I wouldn't be surprised to see teams go more out of 21 personnel this year, whether it's a fullback or even what they call the pony package with two running backs. Because if you can spread the formation out of a base personnel package, I think that poses some problems for the defense.
Absolutely. Greg Cosell with us here for a couple segments every Friday on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We got a lot more to talk about, so don't you go anywhere. Right now, though, let's talk a little bit about my peeps over at Chastang Ford. This is the best dealership I've ever dealt with, and it's not even arguable. I love these guys, and here's the deal, is they put me in this Expedition that is the best, one of the best vehicles I've ever driven in my life, and they got me at a price that I had to have. They said that first thing that they'll ask you is, where do your payments have to be? And I said, this is what I can do. I want the best vehicle I can possibly get. And they worked it. And they worked it hard with Ford and the rebates and everything else that they could possibly do for me. And I'm telling you, if you're looking for that Ford car or truck, this is the place to go, because you know that they're working for you. They're behind the scenes getting everything they possibly can for you to put you. And you can customize it the exact way that you want. This is the way that it is, the business is right now. Go in there, tell them what you want, exactly what you want. Customize your vehicle for yourself, and then it will get to you. You know what? Right now, it's so difficult to get new cars, but Chastang Ford is getting that job done. And they'll get it to you exactly how you want it at the price that you have to have it. Go online at ChastangFord.com or get to the dealership. It's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead. You want that Ford car or truck? Go to Chastang Ford.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5. The conversation continues on The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. 7:45 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Greg Cosell joining us every week right here on the show to talk NFL football. Greg, I've asked this question of a few people. I want to know your opinion. Second year with Kevin Stefanski, because I'm looking to maybe draft him. Is Baker going to be better? Is he going to be a better quarterback? Is Stefanski a quarterback whisperer?
Well, I think it's not so much the quarterback whisperer. I think it's the style of offense that is a very, very good offense. I mean, you know, being in Houston, you're familiar with that style of offense because it really stems from Kubiak. And it starts with the run game. It starts with play action. They've added a lot more gap scheme runs. It used to just be predominantly zone runs, but teams play with their fronts in a way to take away a lot of outside zones, so teams have added gap scheme. The Niners have done that as well. But I think that's an offense that really helps your quarterback. There's a lot of subtlety and nuance to it. There's a lot of what looks like designed boot action, play action boot off that outside zone, but it's really not. And it plays with the rules of your second level defenders on defense. So ultimately the point I'm trying to make is I think it really helps the quarterback with defined reads and defined throws. And that helps any quarterback, because keep in mind, guys, every quarterback is a system quarterback. That term has become, over the years, a negative pejorative term, but every offense, every pass game is taught within a system. So every quarterback is a system quarterback. The issue stems from what happens on 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9, when the defense, more often than not, has the tactical advantage. But I thought Baker played very well last year. I thought he played well down the stretch, but the foundation of that offense fits Baker extremely well.
Well, but you know, I do want to bring this little issue up, and that is Baker played well down the stretch when a certain wide receiver was out.
Yeah.
And the question becomes, can he play with Odell Beckham Jr.? Here's why I ask this. Odell Beckham, there is such a thing as the chemistry, I don't know if Odell Beckham Jr. is the same player he once was. I think he's the same person. I think he's still going to demand the football. And it was clear, and I've seen numbers to this point as well, Greg, that when he targeted Odell Beckham Jr., the completion percentage was much lower, which tells you that
yes,
he was forcing the ball into throws that he shouldn't make. Did you see that when you watched tape with Odell, with OBJ and
that's
Baker?
An interesting point, because if you're a quarterback and you feel you have to get the ball to a certain receiver, then that can often cause you to step outside the design of the offense. And this is an offense that really is built on scheme much more so than let's feed a receiver. So it's an interesting point. And again, you know, I don't know Odell Beckham personally. I don't know what goes on there on a daily basis, so I can't speak to that. But this is a highly schemed pass game when it's proactive. You know, as I said, when they're a normal down and distance, and it's not necessarily built on, hey, let's come out and have our first five throws be to Odell to get him in the ball game. So it's a great point, one we don't really know the answer to. But I think the style of this offense, the approach of this offense, and obviously they've got a great back in Chubb. They've got a really good back in Hunt. Their O-line is probably top five in the NFL. Wyatt Teller at right guard last year played as well as any guard in the league, and I think that's another reason they added the gap scheme run game, because he was an outstanding puller in the run game. So they've got a lot of pieces on offense, but it's really system-based more so than individual-based.
Greg Cosell with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And now we got Brady coming in here tomorrow, Greg. And, you know, Brady was good. I think we're misremembering. He wasn't great last year. But now in his second year with Bruce Arians, is there something to, you know, Baker's going to be with his second year with Stefanski. Is Brady going to be even better? They didn't even win the division last year. They were a wild card team that went on to win the Super Bowl.
I forgot that.
Yeah. So is he going to be better this year with Bruce?
Well, he got better as the year progressed. And the one thing that clearly stood out, a couple of things stood out. Number one, he still throws the ball very well. There was no drop in his arm strength, and he always had a better arm than I think people gave him credit for, because he had to drive the ball through the weather in New England, and he could do that. And I watched a lot of Brady this offseason, and what stands out consistently, and this is what makes Brady, is repetitive mechanics, outstanding pocket awareness. He's got an aggressive throwing mindset. He turns it loose now. And his ball location, what really stood out to me over the last half of the season was his ball location was really precise. And they do a lot of things to create one-on-ones for a really good receiving core. And they have Brown, they have Evans, they have Godwin. And you start creating one-on-ones for those guys. And the NFL is very much matchup football, particularly when you're playing against man coverage. They create, through their use of personnel and formations, one-on-one matchups for those receivers. And those guys are difficult to cover one-on-one.
Greg Cosell joins us from NFL Films. He's going to be with us every Friday from 7:30 to 8 a.m. here. And if you have a question, maybe not this week, but in future weeks, if you got a question about your favorite team, you'll be able to jump in. And Greg, I can assure you, is going to have the answer. We had this discussion earlier on about COVID and the vaccine and everything. Like, you know, I thought this year would be completely different, but what it looks like, Greg, is the more we find out about this, and this has been, you know, it's been a fluid situation since COVID started, the information and everything else. It's starting to look to me like this year could be similar to last year in terms of teams and their concerns with losing position players and how they're going to test and things like that. Do you see this? Do you see it as being the stands being full, but the situation behind the scenes with teams and team building being similar to what we saw last year, only with vaccines being available this year being the big difference?
Yeah, that's hard for me to answer, you know, but I think it really, in addition to having an extra game, I think it's going to put a major, major premium on quality depth. So it's hard to know how that will absolutely play out. I guess I read this morning that now the league and the NFLPA are discussing getting players who are vaccinated tested every 7 days as opposed to every 14. So I don't know how all this will play out. But from a football perspective, I think depth is critical. I think it's very possible that you could lose important players in a big game. You know, and that could impact whether you make the playoffs or not. So I'm curious. I guess what I'm curious about is to see how teams use players who are considered backup players. Defense is a little different animal, because normally teams, because of sub defenses, sub packages, end up playing 14, 15 guys routinely, but it'll be real curious to see, let's say, with offensive lines, because teams that have really good O-lines, and where O-lines are kind of the foundation, you start losing a guy or two, and we've seen that even when COVID was not a factor, but just through injury, and that changes the whole dynamic of your offense.
Greg Cosell here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Greg, there's a possibility, we're down to three preseason games. There's a possibility we go to an 18 game schedule will be the two preseason games.
These are questions way above my pay grade.
No.
That I couldn't answer. I mean, obviously that comes down to so many factors. Money, I'm sure, being the number one factor. I'm real curious to see with 17 games, because I've talked to coaches and they feel that with 17 games, they might have to even coach a little differently in terms of keeping players fresh. I mean, these teams, D-line is a real interesting position group when you add an extra game, because these guys can't play 75 snaps every single week to begin with. So D-line becomes a position where depth, quality depth, becomes really, really important, particularly if we start seeing more tempo by offenses, because then the defensive linemen don't get a break. So if you start seeing more tempo, which I believe will be another, I spoke earlier about using base personnel with backs and tight ends, it would not surprise me if you start seeing more tempo as well, because then you start keeping these defensive linemen out on the field more.
Yeah. Now, my question was, how difficult is it going to be? So we found a lot of diamonds in the rough of undrafted free agents. They had a chance in a four game preseason to make teams, and we found some good players. Is that, that's going to be a lot more difficult if we get down to two preseason games, isn't it?
Well, I don't know the answer to that, simply for this reason, is teams are now practicing against other teams more than ever before. And from what I understand, coaches like that more because it's a much more controlled environment. It's not a true game. So they actually, in their mind, get a better feel for evaluating players. So I think that remains to be seen. I don't think we know the answer to that.
Yeah. Greg Cosell going to join us every week right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, breaking it down. We're just a couple of weeks away, man, and this is our final preseason game. We got Tampa in town to face our Texans this weekend, and then it's go time in a couple of weeks. Greg, we appreciate it. Thanks for hanging. Thanks for agreeing to doing this all season long. We're going to have a lot of fun. We appreciate you being here, and we're looking forward to a great NFL season.
Guys, I'm really happy to be with you guys. I appreciate it, and I look forward to talking with you every week.
Yep, that's Greg Cosell. NFL Films right here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And he's going to be here, so you got to listen in at 7:30 every week right here to hear what Greg Cosell thinks about what happened in this NFL season. So, taking a break, 713-780-3776. Who wants to get in here? You are more than welcome to do that. I want to talk right now about, we've got coming up the CCA golf tournament, which is going to be at Wildcat Golf Club. It's on September 13th. If you want to play, give a call right now. If you're a guy who fishes in this state, then you should support the CCA Texas. 713-626-4222. You got to help them out. They do so much for every fisherman in this state. They conserve, they enhance, they make sure that this is the best fishing state in the country. 713-626-4222. Even if you don't play golf, you can go to that, or you can go to ccatexas.org, ccatexas.org. You can donate, you can be a part of it, you can do your part, because CCA Texas is doing their part. They've got the golf tournament, which is coming up, and you are going. It's brought to you by Kyrish Truck Centers. We want to give them some love. It is important that you support CCA Texas if you love the fish. 713-626-4222 or ccatexas.org.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map.